it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to talk dreams right now? Dreams.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Are you much of a dreamer? Do you remember most of your dreams when you wake up?
I wouldn't say most of them. I feel like maybe once a week I'll remember one, or like maybe more than that. Maybe twice a week I'll kind of, like this weekend I took a nap both Saturday and Sunday, which was glorious.
Nice.
I remember dreams from both of those.
Yeah. Dave Harrigan, how often when you wake up in the morning, do you remember your dreams?
At most, it's usually a fragment of the dream.
That's,
I'll remember bits and pieces, and then they're usually gone within a couple hours. You could ask me what I dreamed, and I would have no idea.
See, that's a lot of where I'm at, Jamie, too, where for the first few seconds, if it's a memorable dream, sometimes I remember all of it. But more often than not, it's just leaving me so fast. And many times I'm like, no, stay there.
That's why they tell you to have a journal next to your bed.
Yeah.
Jot them down like the minute you wake up.
How often, let's say if you wake up during the night, are you able to go back to a dream? I think that's only happened to me 4 or 5 times in my life. But it's really
cool.
I think it's pretty interesting when it does. And by the way, some of the dreams I don't want to go back. Like they're terrifying. They're awful. So I had this dream last night, and I'm not going to say who, but it's someone who I've interviewed on this show. It's not like I've socialized with this individual, but whenever we see each other, we're very friendly. Okay. And we run into each other at a social setting, and he takes the wrong turn and somehow, wait for it because it's not good, gets set on fire.
What?
Is set on fire. The upper body of this individual, and finally I jump on him, others jump on him, and I wake up, and that's my last image of jumping on this individual who out of nowhere, like a flame, again, I would wish I had more of the details, all of a sudden upper body, and I had recently text with this individual, you know, but it was just a minor thing, and we were joking about something. Okay, so if you have a dream about someone you know, or a friend, and it's a very unique circumstance, do you reach out to them and say, hey, I got to tell you about this dream?
It depends on the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, like you're saying, an acquaintance probably wouldn't tell him that I had a dream that he was starting on fire.
Yeah.
You know, like Doug or you or Jason DeRusha or, you know, Alyssa or whatever. Yeah. I'd probably call and tell him.
Right. And then, so let's say it's me. We've known each other a long time. We're good friends. Let's say it was something terrible involving me. Like, I was killed in your dream. Awful. Are we inclined then? I mean, like, I can't imagine where I would just call somebody who's a good friend and say, hey, I just want to let you know you died in my dream last night.
Yeah, no, probably not. But I will say I'm a big believer that all of these dreams mean something, right? Like,
okay.
Like there's symbolism in them. The people who are in them for a reason. I do think there's like, I'm woo-woo like this, right? I'm a hippy-dippy human being this way. But, you know, like I just looked up symbolism of fire in dreams, transformation and renewal.
Mm-hmm.
Fire
mm-hmm.
often symbolizes change, cleansing, or a new beginning. The person on fire could represent an aspect of them or of yourself that's undergoing transformation. Can be anger, loss of control, purification. Who the person is matters, it says. could symbolize fears about their well-being or your relationship with them. Maybe you don't think you're in good standing with this person. So I do. I think there's a you can read a lot into what's happening in your own head when you have a dream.
Right.
Go from there. So, like, if you were to die in my dream, I might not tell you you died, but I'd probably look into it in the dream journal and say, huh.
What is this? Yeah.
You know, what is this? And then maybe call you and say, hey, I've been really stressed out, or I'm worried about you. I know you're going through a tough time. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Yeah. I go back and forth because I don't want, and Jamie Yukis is with us like she is every Tuesday this time. I don't in any way want to just dismiss what you just laid out because too many people believe in it. Too many credible people believe in it. There's a lot of science behind it. And there are times I have reoccurring dreams where I believe it does symbolize something. But I also believe you also have some dreams where it's just an odd combination of things you've consumed which somehow come together in maybe an inexplicable way.
Or maybe you've done some drugs. Who knows?
Yeah. How about you, Dave? Do you put a lot of symbol into your dreams?
I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't believe in it, but I'm kind of with you. I think it's just your mind just taking a bunch of random things, throwing them together, and see what comes out.
But I don't want to dismiss these other dreams that I know to me mean something. I've talked about them before.
Okay. It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's switch to another topic. Dave found this story today where it seems pretty clear when people think of the top cities in America, Dave, they think of
New York, L.A., Chicago, 1, 2, 3.
That's it. That's the order, right? New York City, L.A., Chicago. Do you agree with those three being separated from the pack?
Well, they're the biggest. I mean, I guess, like, working in television, they're the largest population. There's a reason why.
Well, I mean,
I think, from a statistical standpoint,
I think Houston might now be the fourth biggest city. Is that possible? It is.
I think yes. I think you're right. Yes.
But to if you just went to the average person and said, "Okay, after these three, what's the fourth city in America?" If we just go by population, yeah. It is Houston, and where I used to live, Phoenix / Scottsdale, God knows where that's going to be in about 10 years. I mean, there might be 500 million people there. But do we
I think it depends. I think it depends where you live geographically, because honestly, I think here in Southern California, if you said, what are the top three cities, people would say Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco.
Yeah, right. Okay, Dave, when it's just your instinct, as someone who's lived in this country now for 41 years, and somebody said, what's the number four city in America to you? What comes to mind?
Woodbury, Minnesota.
Woodbury, Minnesota. Ironically enough, that's right where you live.
Yeah, I pick good towns. No, the first one that comes to mind is Boston. Houston was in my running, but Houston stinks. No one wants
Houston
to be in Houston.
Houston does stink.
Atlanta, Miami.
See,
what about Philadelphia?
Yeah, Philadelphia is way up. The funny thing is, I also think of San Francisco.
Sure.
I know population-wise, I just think of, I mean, San Francisco brings so much, right? A lot of people.
It's one of our most unique cities in the country, I would say.
Exactly. Also, Jamie, for a lot of people, controversial. A lot of people are upset about the crime. A lot of people push back on it. Then you say, well, okay, when you're in San Francisco, first of all, it's so diverse in the city, and then just all the amazing locations within an hour of San Francisco makes it just amazing to me.
Yeah. I was just there on Labor Day weekend, and being able to take the ferry over to Sausalito and Tiburon, I mean, you know, there's nothing like that. In Seattle, you can hop on a boat and go up and down the waterway, and it's beautiful too. But San Francisco, you're actually getting, yes, you know, the other ports, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you drive that.
Like you said, are diverse.
You go to Carmel. You go to Napa.
Yeah.
Right? For a city size-wise that isn't as big as some others, to have those signature areas within an hour and 15 is why I think people should travel to San Francisco, because it's so much fun.
Well, and can I just please say, because even here in Los Angeles, you know, there's some people that are like, oh, my God, why would you go to San Francisco for your girls' weekend? Like, oh, it's gone, the city's so bad. And I have friends who live up there, and they're like, yeah, you know what? During COVID, it did get bad. And I saw that. I saw the decline happen, you know, traveling. It is back. It is beautiful. It's clean. You know, is the homeless population there? Yes. It's primarily in one part of the city. Right now, it's in the Tenderloin, which is unfortunate that, you know, mm-hmm. they need to work on that. But if you, like you just said, you want to go to Fisherman's Wharf. You want to go to a baseball game. You want to go to a basketball game.
I'm with you.
You want to go to Restoration 100%. Hardware, even. Like, you want to go and see the Golden Gate Bridge. You want to go to Chimborough. You want to go to Sausalito. You want to go up to Napa. It's amazing.
It's
amazing. There's nothing like it.
I'm with you. I was there a couple of years ago.
The Embarcadero.
I thought it was absolutely back. Great stuff, Jamie. Stay safe.
Oh, hey. I got to plug something quick.
Yeah, quick.
This is important to me, and it's important to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Vinay Restaurant, going to be featured on CBS Mornings on Thursday in the dish segment.
Nice.
Vinay, yeah. Right?
Vinay. Oh, it's tremendous. Absolutely. Receiving just a great review, so well worth it. And when is it on again?
Please tune in. Thursday, probably in the 8 o'clock hour.
Perfect.
Possibly rerunning again at 9.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you.
And if you've not been to Vinay, go soon. It is well worth it.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.